greetings and welcome to the show. This is Wrong Place, Right Crime. I am your host, Frank Zaffiro, and we are in the middle of a podcast celebration of a grifter song. Now, if you're just stumbling upon this for the first time, a grifter song is a serial novella anthology that I created and edited for Down and Out Books. It features a pair of grifters, Sam and Rachel, who are devoted to each other and to the con, and not much else. Rest of the world, beware. There are 35 episodes, 30 different authors. Each episode has a different author, takes place in a different location, has a different con, is seen through different eyes, and of course has a different voice and style based on the author who wrote it. All of this is coming to an end with episode number 35, Into the Dying Sun, which will drop on October 1st, 2023. In the days running up to that, we're having this podcast celebration in which we are talking to each of the authors who were involved in this. We're getting the thoughts and insights and experiences of each of the authors. And then as the editor and essentially showrunner, I guess, any behind the scenes things that I can share, I'm certainly putting them out there as well for you, the listener, to be aware of. A Grifter's Song is published by Down and Out Books. You can find out more about Down and Out Books at their website, downandoutbooks.com. That's downandoutbooks, all one word, .com. Now, in this episode, we are going to go over episodes 21, 22, and 23. Episode 21, The Alpha Whisperer, was written by me. Number 22, Dracula Wine, was written by David Housewright. And number 23, Diamond Dogs, was written by Gabriel Valjean. Let's just dive right into The Alpha Whisperer. Early on in this series, it was delivered via a subscription model. You subscribe to the season, and as each new episode came out, you got it at a discount. And you also got a bonus episode that no one else got. It sounded like a cool idea. I was pretty excited about it. I know Down and Out Books was excited about it. They used that model for a couple of other anthology series, like A Grifter Song. Unfortunately, it didn't catch on. The vast majority of the sales were of people buying individual episodes or buying the paperbacks. They were basically a two-volume paperback at the end of the season, collecting all of the stories. So after three seasons, we decided to switch over to a different model. And so A Grifter's Song went into Kindle Unlimited and was available for purchase as a Kindle only. And those bonus episodes, which I wrote, were incorporated directly into the series where they fell. That's why you see so many episodes written by me. I wasn't trying to hog the ball. About half of those were bonus episodes that only subscribers were going to see. But once we went with a different model, there's no way I wanted those to just disappear into the ether. Many of them have some interesting ties to the different stories. So we reordered the first three seasons to include those. And The Alpha Whisperer was the final bonus episode that needed to happen with. And so, as is the case with all of the bonus episodes, I wanted to tell the story not from Sam and Rachel's viewpoint. The first two bonus episodes were from Rocco Talenti's viewpoint. This one came from the viewpoint of Dr. Aaron Sears, who is the eponymous Alpha Whisperer. What is an Alpha Whisperer? Well, he has exclusive clients, all alpha male, alpha female professionals. And as a psychologist, he caters to them because he believes that their psychology is unique, needs to be handled a certain way. He's got a reputation and is referral only. And so things are going pretty well for him. But then there's a couple of complications. One is he has a secret too, and it is threatening to catch up with him. And two is he's taking on this new couple and they kind of get under his skin in different ways. So the format for this is there is a prologue and an epilogue that is sort of from Sam and Rachel's perspective. I guess it's more of an omniscient point of view with them when they're by themselves. And then the overwhelming majority of the story is from Aaron Sears's perspective. So again, this was a bonus story that was incorporated into the series proper. There is a piece that comes out of this, some information that Sam and Rachel are actually after, and they do obtain, and it provides the seeds for a few future stories that come in the final two seasons. Other authors used it as a jumping off point. So that is The Alpha Whisperer. It takes place in Seattle, Washington. So I think that's the closest I get to my old hometown of Spokane. So there you are. All right, let us move on to episode 22, Dracula Wine by David Housewright. Now, this takes place mostly in and around Minneapolis. And last year, BoucherCon was in Minneapolis, and I met David there. But that wasn't the first time we had met. We met online for this particular episode. David has some books that are published by Down and Out Books, and he was a recommendation to check out from DNO. And so I checked out his work and thought he had a unique voice. And like all of these authors, something different to bring to the table. So in Dracula Wine, we follow a highly successful businessman, Trey Osborne. He's got everything I think we've seen before, how when people have everything, then, you know, they find that wanting. And so they start to pursue things that are a little bit more unique. For Osborne, he kind of fills this void of being able to buy whatever he wants with conquest, and especially beating up on his main rival. And so that is what sparks this con that Sam and Rachel embark on. And this is a situation where, as David points out in the interview you're about to listen to, you know, Sam and Rachel are actually minor characters, or at least secondary characters, in their own episode. So the focus is much more on a couple of other characters. This is also not the first episode to involve stolen artwork, but it is handled in a completely different fashion than Still Life with Suitcase, the episode that Scott Eubanks wrote. And even though it does take place in Minneapolis, there are a number of different settings in which the story occurs. If this were a film, there would be a lot of location work for location scouts to do, because there'd be everything from high octane offices to airports to the backwoods near the Canadian border, just varied places for the action to take place. As with every book, there's always something unique about it that I like, that stands out. And sometimes it's the main thing about the book. Sometimes it's something different. For me, it was the varied locations that we find ourselves throughout this book that really stood out. It's a great story. The plot is excellent. It's different in that regard. But when I read through it as a reader, it was the different locales that really stood out to me. But the author may have a completely different take on it. Let's find out. I caught up with David Housewright at the BoucherCon Mystery Conference in San Diego in September of 2023. And we spoke literally at the bar, same bar I interviewed Eric Pruitt in. Let's hear what David has to say about Dracula Wine, episode 22 of A Grifter Song.
Well, hey, David, we are here at the BoucherCon in the bar, literally. So, having a good time?
Yes, I am, more than I should, I think.
Let me ask you, you came to the series in a later season. When you were invited to be part of A Grifter Song, what made you say yes?
Well, if you remember, I didn't say yes. When you guys first asked me, I had projects going on. I was teaching. I was working on a new book. And I said, hell no. And you guys said, well, maybe next year. And I go, okay, that's cool. And then I started thinking. For some reason, I got a story in my head about these grifters. And then I checked out a couple of previous episodes of The Grifter Song, and I'm like, Now it's in my head and I can't get rid of it. Now, I'm, you know, this is what I'm thinking of when I should be working on my book. So I call you guys and I say, okay, I'll do it. And if you remember, you were saying, well, you know, this is like September. And you were saying, well, can I get it by December? And I said, if you don't have it in the next 3 weeks, you're not going to get it at all.
I do remember
that. I just crashed and wrote it in 3 weeks to get it out of my head.
So this was a story that came to you as a result of thinking about Sam and Rachel and the premise?
Well, part of it was that, that was mostly the structure. But I had this leftover stuff from previous books I wrote that I didn't use. And it just was in my head. And then I read the Sam and Rachel stuff, and I go, okay, I think I can do this. But if you remember, Sam and Rachel have very small parts in this script.
Right.
I have a completely different character.
Did having to play within the rules or within some guidelines as opposed to, you know, having a free rein when you're writing your own stuff, was that difficult? Was it liberating? How did you feel about it?
Well, it wasn't difficult for me for the reason I just stated, that Sam and Rachel were small characters. So I didn't really need to know that much of their history, so I could stay within the guidelines. So it was a little easier for me than I think some of your writers.
Now, they were pretty much minor characters in this story, but was there anything about Sam and Rachel that you found interesting or that really appealed to you?
Well, the fact that this was their life. Now, my main character, Deborah, she's looking to get out. And that's the difference. I mean, Sam and Rachel are not looking to get out. This is what they do. And that's probably the big difference.
In your story, was there a favorite moment for you?
Believe it or not, it's basically the last page. And I don't want to give anything away, but
please don't.
when Deborah renames herself and she's going to become a different person, and she explains her name, which was so similar to her original explanation, that I'm like, oh, I kind of like that. I thought that was one of my better efforts.
You mentioned having read a couple of the stories. Of the other stories that you read, did any jump out to you as personal favorites?
Oh, wow. The first story I read, I didn't like them. I didn't like Sam and Rachel. The opening, I can't remember which one it was, but the opening of the story is Rachel is grifting a barista in a coffee house. And I thought, wow, that's so petty. That's so, you know... You're stealing a $6.40 cup of coffee. And I just thought, you know, but then, of course, as the grifts get bigger and more elaborate, then you get to admire them for their resourcefulness and their cleverness and the resilience. But at that one moment when I first read those first pages, I'm like, hey, you know what? That's not nice.
Well, you know, this is coming to an end with episode number 35, dropping on October 1st. If it was your story to end, how would you end it? Or if you prefer, how do you think it'll end?
I'm kind of torn. There are two endings. The one is they go straight. They make the big score. They got the money in the bank. We're done. We're going to try and live an honest life. The other version is they go to jail because they deserve it.
they do deserve it, no question there.
Well, you have written a lot of other books and stories. What is your most recent work or the one that's coming out next? And where can people find out more about you?
My next book, or the book that's out right now that came out in June, is called In a Hard Wind. The next book, which will be my 29th, it's called A Man in the Water, which is going to come out either in May or June from St. Martin's Press. And you can find me everywhere. I mean, just Google my name. You go to Amazon, you'll see a complete list of all the books and where you can find it.
All right. Well, I was really glad that you decided to come on board. You had a very unique story, and I liked the play into the art world. So thank you for doing that. And thanks for doing this retrospective as well.
Well, thanks for having me. I appreciate it, Frank.
All right. Thank you, David. You know, David has a number of series out there. He mentioned the one coming out soon. He writes in almost literary style. It's very approachable literary style, I guess, is how I might term it. Super friendly guy. He and I argued over semicolons when I edited his episode and reached an agreement. He likes his semicolons. Probably won't admit how much he likes them. I despise them. Probably won't admit how much I despise them. I think both stances are probably unreasonable. And so it was kind of frustrating when we went through it, I think, for both of us, but pretty funny afterwards. And he jokingly said when I was coming to Minneapolis that, you know, he's the semicolon guy. And then after I met him, I said, no, you're the cool hat guy. He wears a pretty cool small brim hat to all these events. And so he's pretty easy to spot. Cool guy. Somebody you can hang out with and have a great conversation. If I said that before about the men and women I've interviewed on this series, there's a theme there for you to ponder. It's not a very big riddle. Crime writers tend to be, for the most part, pretty fun to hang around and definitely somebody worth sitting next to at the bar. So check out episode 22 of Dracula Wine by David Housewright. Let's move on to the final episode for this outing, episode 23, Diamond Dogs by Gabriel Valjean. Now, Gabriel chose to respond to my request for interview with written interview, which was an option I gave authors because everybody's busy. So it won't be as dynamic as hearing it in his own voice, but I will try to share the pieces of his written reply in a way that hopefully it doesn't put you to sleep. When I asked him what made him accept the invitation to be part of a Grifter song, he noted that Art Taylor recommended him, and that is true. But he was already aware of the series and knows many of the writers involved. But the reason he actually accepted it was because he's very fond of the novella form. Gabriel writes that
it's longer than a short story, but not a novel. The short story is sometimes too short to develop character, and the novel requires subplots and what I would call symphonic creativity, timing, pace. The novella offers a perfect compromise.
I think that's an interesting observation, and one that, in other words, different authors have shared. Diamond Dogs takes place in New Jersey, specifically in Newark. And Sam and Rachel get stranded there. There's a snowstorm coming, and they're stranded. They can't get into the hotel once they decide to bail from the airport. And a mysterious, sophisticated stranger offers to let them share his suite. It turns out that he is also a grifter, a veteran grifter. And they pretty quickly determine that he's not a threat. And in fact, he takes on kind of a mentor role for this period of time that they are riding out the storm. The title Diamond Dogs comes from the fact that he is a renegade diamond dealer. And so we get to see how he does his work and try to learn his backstory. And of course, Sam and Rachel are cautious, even though they don't think he's a threat. That doesn't mean that he's not working a con on them as well. So they're kind of caught between that and trying to pick up what they can from an old veteran, not something they're above doing. I mean, Sam learned a lot from Porter and from Aunt Sally, and they learned things from Finch. These are other minor characters earlier in the series that they learned from. So our Diamond Dog here represents that opportunity. Now, Gabriel, he's one of those writers who I've mentioned a couple others whose writing has a very literary quality to it. Now, all of the writers that I selected for this are great writers, but everybody has their own style. Some people write very spare, very lean sort of prose, and others it's more lush and it has literary qualities to it, so that maybe just hearing the words is what you're enjoying, whereas another story, it's all about, you know, the story itself. This was some of both, but I think you should check out Gabriel's other work. He most certainly has his own style of writing and is very soft on the ears. So give it a read. Let's hear a little bit more about his thoughts on his experience in Diamond Dogs. You know, I asked him what inspired the story, and he said,
"I created my Diamond Dogs from scratch after I'd read the character Bible. What I wanted to focus on was relationships between Sam and Rachel and the man they meet at the Newark airport. I'm from the New York, New Jersey area, so writing atmosphere and the mindset came second nature to me. I tried to inject some humor into the series, and I suggest that the grifter lifestyle isn't a way of living life for the long haul."
He mentioned the Bible that all the authors got. It was a document that got larger every time out, every season. It was updated with previous episodes and facts and then anything else that I felt like I needed to add. Almost like a policy and procedure manual. Something comes up and you realize, oh, I need to cover that sort of possibility, so let's do so. When I asked him what the experience was like working with that, he said,
"I like guidelines, and I approached the exercise as a writing prompt. I found the guidelines liberating as opposed to oppressive. As a writer, it was fun to have the challenge and see what I could come up with."
One of the things I've really liked about this series as the editor is just how different the style and voice of each of the authors is. And it is the one thing that many people have pointed out as keeping this series fresh. Now, the Sam and Rachel characters and their relationship is that common thread, that sort of comforting familiarity from book to book. But the way the authors write and the voice, not to mention the setting, of course, is that freshness that keeps things from becoming stale. And Gabriel's style, as I mentioned before, is very unique. When I asked him what he might like or be interested in when it came to the characters of Sam and Rachel themselves, he said,
"I found Rachel's character more attractive. She seems smarter, more attuned to her surroundings, and she knows herself. In the character Bible, Sam didn't come across to me as a person with much self-awareness."
Now, that's probably my fault, as an aside, because he is very self-aware. So I obviously didn't express that very well in the character Bible. But Gabriel continues with,
"Rachel is dangerous, though I didn't see her as a femme fatale. So when I wrote Diamond Dogs, she was more sexual, assertive, and observant."
And I think he nails the character of Rachel pretty well there. You know, she is not a femme fatale per se, but she is a very attractive woman. She is sexually attractive as well. But of course, she uses those traits in concert with her best weapon, which is her mind. I asked Gabriel if he had a favorite moment from Diamond Dogs, and he says,
"Without giving too much away, Sam, Rachel, and friend,"
and he's referring here to the grifter who took them in while the storm is going on outside,
"they meet and con a bridezilla. It's a humorous chapter and a realistic portrait of how obsessed, demanding, and privileged brides can get about their, quote, special day. Writing humor is difficult because the setting and dialogue have to work flawlessly. I'd like to think I pulled it off."
Well, I can tell you as the editor, he definitely pulled it off. You decide when you read it, but it is a funny scene. I asked Gabriel what other episodes of A Grifter Song he might have read or liked, and he singled out Holly West's episode, The Money Block. And the reason was because
it had a woman's take on testosterone gym culture. A quality I enjoy when I read crime fiction, especially, is voice. That distinctive mark a writer puts on their creation, and I think Holly nailed it for me.
Then I put the question to Gabriel that is the million-dollar question. How does he think it will end? And so he tells me that he hasn't read the latest installment. Well, nobody has actually yet, except for myself, a secret editor, and Lance and Eric at Down and Out Books. Everyone else will have to wait until October 1st. So Gabriel says,
"In my imagination, I can see Rachel living in the burbs, having hidden her secret life from her neighbors. Once you get to know her, you sense something is off. Unless Sam gets his act together, I don't see them together. My read of Rachel is that she needs a true partner, and Sam was always one step behind.
This is one of the times where I completely disagree with an author. But that's okay, because it's art, and people see things differently. I think that Sam and Rachel are equal partners. They just have different strengths, and there is no way they're going to leave each other behind unless something external causes that. Death, prison, something, a betrayal, which I don't think is very likely, but any of those things could happen, and they could end up not together, but I don't think they'll ever end up not together voluntarily. So sorry, Gabriel, I think you missed the mark on this one. It's about the only thing with this episode that you missed the mark, because Diamond Dogs is a fantastic story, and it's interesting to me that he can write such a fantastic episode and explore a character seeing it a certain way that is a different vision of the character than I have. And I think that the majority of the other writers have, but it still works. I asked Gabriel, to promote himself a little bit and tell me what his most recent release was and where people can find out more about him. And he says,
"Thank you for asking. My most recent release is the fourth Shane Cleary mystery entitled Liar's Dice."
Great title.
Shane's past comes to town, literally, and he is juggling more than one case. But the main focus is his developing relationship with Bonnie, a criminal defense attorney.
So those are the thoughts of Gabriel Valjean, who wrote episode 23, Diamond Dogs. If you want to find out more about Gabriel, who has been nominated for multiple awards and has won several, you can go to his website, which is GabrielValjean.com. That's Gabriel Valjean, VALJAN.com. Gabriel Valjean, all one word. Thanks, Gabriel, for sending in those responses, and of course for writing an episode that at least one other grifter chose as his favorite episode. That was Colin Conway, who singled out Diamond Dogs as his personal favorite. All right, so there you have episodes 21, 22, and 23 of A Grifter Song. The Alpha Whisperer by Frank Zaffiro, Dracula Wine by David Housewright, and Diamond Dogs by Gabriel Valjean. Next episode, we're going to talk about episodes 24, 25, and 26, Dusty and Bent by Trey Barker, Concrete and Cocaine by Vincent Zandri, and Ghost Image by Kat Richardson. We are creeping closer and closer to the end, folks. Thanks for being part of this retrospective celebrating A Grifter Song. Thanks to David and Gabe for responding to my questions and for being part of both the series and this retrospective. We will be back next episode, which, if you're listening to this as they drop, will be tomorrow. Either way, we will be talking again about the next three books in this series. Thanks for coming along for the ride. Until then, this is Frank Zaffiro reminding you that sometimes you gotta be in the wrong place to write crime.